Welcome, ladies, to our Naomi's Table Bible Study. I'm Amy Spreeman. Today, we are in the book of 1 Corinthians with teacher Beth Seifert. Make sure you go to naomistable.com and download the study guide to help you dig deeper. You can do these lessons on your own, with your women's church group, or gather some friends and learn together. These are some great discipleship tools. Well, let's open up our Bibles and begin today's lesson.
Well, today, ladies, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. And I've titled this lesson, Time for Solid Food. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you're not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not being merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants, through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted. Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. So Paul has explained that spiritual things are discerned by those who are spiritually alive, thanks to God. And then he has to explain that these people in Corinth are not where they should be spiritually at all. And Paul is letting them know that there is simply no excuse for their still being so immature. They should have grown and progressed by now, but instead, they have been complacent and looked for their own liberty above all. And they have listened to others who have come in and tried to undermine Paul's authority, judging Paul by his eloquence and disregarding his message. When Paul was first with them, they had to be spoken to as those who were spiritually, well, dead. He spoke to them as people of the flesh and who were infants in Christ because that's what they were. They weren't ready for solid food, but only for milk. Sadly, they are still not ready for meat. They are still of the flesh. And they shouldn't be. Paul circles back to his first indictment of them here to show them evidence. They are still of the flesh because they are behaving with jealousy and strife, creating factions and divisions based on human teachers. Paul brings this to a point here, and I love this. Who are Paul and Apollos? Merely servants through whom they came to believe. Servants. Paul and Apollos know that they aren't creating or encouraging these cliques. Paul planted, Apollos watered, God brought the growth. God gets the glory, not anyone else. God assigned Paul and Apollos their roles, and their purpose is the same, to harvest what God grows. The only important one in this whole equation is God. The servants of the Lord are just that, servants of the Lord, and they will receive their inheritance. Their wages from God is appropriate, but they are merely and wonderfully God's fellow workers, invited to aid in his glorious work. And the Corinthians are God's field, God's building, being built up for God's purpose. Since we have seen Paul confirm that these people are spiritual in the most basic sense, we don't doubt their salvation as we look at this rebuke. But their behavior is so inconsistent with the truth that they had received that Paul had to treat them as people with little understanding of what it truly means to live as those who belong to the body of Christ. This discussion, by the way, that Paul has here should be clear because Jesus also made this point in Mark 4, verses 26 through 29. And he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprout and grows, he knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. The one who brings the growth is God. Yet God sends workers to the field to plant and to harvest what has been planted and has grown. I have to confess that I am guilty of looking at the meager, immature fruit of a long-time professing believer and immediately jumping to the conclusion that they couldn't possibly actually be saved. Now, that might be true, but it might not be, as we see clearly here, because Paul continues to affirm over and over that these people are truly saved, but their lives are not reflecting that truth as much as it should. It's almost as if they only understood in part what their salvation truly meant. But Paul doesn't question their salvation, even while calling them to repent. I confess that I, more often than not, question others' salvation first, if not directly, then indirectly. And that's my problem. That's my sin. And I need to repent of that when I do that. But here's the thing, though. This immature fruit that they were exhibiting, this really was a huge concern. This was not a good sign for these professing believers, for their walk with Christ, for their witness to the world around them, to the believers around them, or for anything else. And they are sinning in this, and Paul doesn't hide that truth. He calls them to account, rebuking and correcting them while still affirming their salvation. We, the church today, do a terrible job at this. We're so afraid to give offense that we won't speak at all, even when we should, with concern for the brother or sister whose life does not reflect their profession. And we have to be careful not to assume everyone should be at the exact same place that we are either. But we should still be pointing each other to Scripture as our authority. And we should be willing and loving enough to call out our brothers and sisters when there is cause for concern, but always with a right perspective of who we are and who God is. Paul doesn't elevate himself here. He elevates God. He recognizes that he and Apollos are part of God's plan. They are invited in to preach the word and to point souls to Christ, and that's amazing. Paul understands that this is a glorious and wonderful assignment that he has been given, to be part of the call to others to find their true freedom in Christ. That's amazing. It really is. And that call is actually for every believer. We're all called to scatter seed and to help with the harvest. But it is still God who brings the growth. We don't do it. But we are all to be working in the field for our Master. So, my questions today. Are you content where you are at? Do you think you know enough to be saved so you know enough? Do you value growth in your life and walk with Christ? Are you looking for opportunities to learn more about Him, His Word, His character, and to share those things with others? Or do you think that you've got it figured out, your life is going good, and, well, unless something goes bad, you have enough learning for what you need? If you are satisfied with where you are at in your walk with Christ, it's time to consider that Paul's words here to the Corinthians might apply to you. Could it be that by this time you too should be able to be addressed as those who are mature, but you continually reject the depth of growth that you should have? Could you too be a spiritual infant, long after you should be a spiritual mentor to others? Consider your own heart today. Perhaps it's time to really taste and see that the Lord is good, and learn what that means. Ladies, you'll find the notes for this study under the Bible Studies tab of the website naomistable.com, day 6, Time for Solid Food.